Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All righty, February just about gone, which means we're closing in on March Madness.
March Madness, we here. We're here. All righty.
And those Spartans is gearing up for that run.
Yeah, we got the shared Big Ten championship conference
at this time.
Regular season
could change as they get ready for that tournament, conference tournament.
A lot of single digit victories for us.
Yeah,
so it's a good conference, looking like football for us.
Yeah, but I think your guys play down to your level of competition, which is not a good thing. But when Northwestern, they was down 20 some points at halftime. Northwestern.
Yes.
Come back and beat them. It's like, okay, let's go out here and play back.
Yeah, we did.
They turn it on when they want to, man.
You're right. We were down to 20 points to Northwestern. They came back.
So they be saying, is this the number one team in the country?
Yes, we are.
So a lot of folks have to say yes, man. If they looking good.
We done lost it, got it back. Lost it, got it back.
Yeah, he had a lot of distractions, going on.
Yeah. NASA didn't make it good.
Yeah.
That was rough on us.
Yeah, putting a little pressure on
the
coach.
All the coaches are cleared now.
Okay.
Everybody's cleared. Antonio's clear. Izzo's clear. So they didn't have nothing to do with it directly,
Okay.
Indirect, not their fault. That's good. That's good for them so they can go on and keep on being legendary coaches.
Right. Go ahead and pull this thing off because the tournament is in the Big Apple this year down in Madison Square Garden. So it's like a mecca for basketball.
Yes, it is. Some of the best games ever played.
Yeah, this is the first time it's ever been there, too.
The Big Ten?
Yeah, first time.
Because usually the Big East have it.
Right, the Big East always play in Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
But I think they're over at Barclays Center now.
Oh, at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
They got the cream of the crop stadium.
Yeah, they got that state of the art.
Yeah, they got high technology and everything. Even though Madison's good, but Madison's not. Yeah.
Historic.
It's not new.
Right. It's historic.
It's some old crevices in that building. Creaky spots.
Yeah. Got them dead spots like an old Boston Garden.
Right. That's an old place, man. That gym has been around a long time.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden's been around a long time, man. So that's going to be interesting. Big Ten, conference tournament. It's always fun to watch. And I'm, I do want to attend one day. It's like, a weekend. You have to go. I think they play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-day event.
Back to back to back.
Oh, yes. That'd be a good time, though, man. So put that on my bucket list.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
A Big Ten Conference Championship. Hey, speaking of basketball, did you watch the All-Star game?
Oh, I seen the highlights of it. I think we had something.
It was on that Sunday.
Yeah, it was on that Sunday.
Sunday evening.
Yeah, I had to teach a class somewhere. I teach a class at MCF, so Michigan Correctional Facilities. And the guys. When I was getting ready to lead, they was doing the starting lineups. I was ready to go to shoot around. And it was a good game, though. It came down to the last basket.
Oh, man, it was good. Yeah, they trapped Curry in the corner.
Yep.
LeBron and
Durant.
And Durant, yeah. Yeah, so he couldn't get that shot off. So it was competitive.
Yeah, I like that that they're doing it like that. They think it was talking about changing the playoff format. Like the Clippers play against New York, in fact, they're the ACs or something like that. Like, how would somebody be able to afford to travel like that? Like, like change the playoff format. They was thinking about changing the playoff format. Like, okay, this team is the AC here. This team play this team. And they always, New York play against LA or something like that. They ACs or something.
Well, as long as you got a home, a home court, they're not worried about trying to put butts in the seats because the home court people are probably going to sell it out. But, no, I hadn't really heard anything about the format other than they were really impressed with the format of the All-Star game.
Yes,
and
that was
talking
good.
About making it alive next year, the selection process.
They like that.
Yeah, they want to make it live, though, so they can get that audience involved.
So the two players with the most notoriety pick their players.
Yeah, so it was LeBron and Steph. And I don't know how that would change next year.
Whoever the last two MVPs would be.
Okay, well, LeBron, he won it this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know who – Westbrook won it the year before. Westbrook was
you're right.
Was 17. So Westbrook was on his team this year. So it's interesting.
I found it. It says NBA reportedly discussing a play-in tourney to determine final playoff seeds.
Okay.
So some kind of play-in tournament that you got to play in to play.
Okay, so try to get teams out of tanking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a big talk here recently is teams
and sitting their players and stuff. Yep, sit their players. Or like, I want to make sure I get this draft stock, so I just going to throw my last 30 games away.
Yep, yep, get more lottery balls. That's the name of the game, to get more lottery balls in the machine.
So here it goes right here. It says, the NBA has never been afraid of making changes to improve the game as a whole. The league just recently changed the All-Star format, which allows the top vote getters to get to draft teams instead of conferences. And it's been a massive success. It's also making an effort to combat tanking by changing the draft lottery. Lately, Adam Silver has been looking at changing the format of the playoffs. He's considering a 1-16 format that would just take the 16 teams with the best record, essentially ignoring conferences. According to Zach Lowe of ESPN, that isn't the only change the NBA is exploring. A play-in tournament to decide the final seeds of the playoffs is apparently gaining momentum around the league.
Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
The best 16 teams. But that's what I was saying. Like, okay, say if New York make it and the Clippers make it, it's going to be a lot of travel on the NBA, but the home fans will make it.
Yeah.
But y'all got money, they got millions. Get on that plane.
I got millions, man. Yeah, and it depends if it's a one-game elimination or will it be three games played, you know.
Yes.
Two at one location, one at the other location. So it sounds like they're tweaking that playoff system, and they'll come up with those kind of numbers. I think it ought to be a one-game elimination if you're going to take that format. It'll be a one-game elimination. But that's interesting. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Big Reds.
Yeah, Big Reds. Oh, yeah, we got, I guess we got the boys basketball team and the girls. The boys is a fifth year in a row clinching the Black Conference champs for basketball. So that's 5 years in a row. And they ain't lost a game probably in 55 games.
Yeah, there was some kind of streak like that in the conference.
It's amazing what Coach Guy and his staff is doing. And then the girls, we just got our first Black championship. When this airs, hopefully we'll be undefeated also for the first time ever in the Black any girls team.
Any girls team.
Yep. So that's good history. We've been trying to preach that to our young ladies that any girls team. Coach Walker been talking that big time. So let's just see what that looks like and sounds like on Friday night. And I think it's a game of the week too.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And it's going to be on Big Red Radio Network, 106.1 Big Red Radio Network, which hopefully by now everybody knows that.
That's right.
To the girls' game prior to the boys' games on Friday evenings.
Check it out.
And during the playoffs.
Yeah, Monday we got playoffs. We got Northview. I think it'll probably be like at 5:30 or something Monday at Muskegon at the Potter Gymnasium.
Okay.
Yep, Northview over there in Grand Rapids. Pretty good Eastern team. It's going to be fun. It's going to be – get the kickoff. We get to play our play-in game at Northview. And then we play at Grand Haven. It's Reese Puff of Grand Haven, Mona Shores, Kennewick Hills, you know.
Okay.
Several other teams, Union and somebody else. Basically, our conference around us. But I was wondering, like, I remember a couple years ago, we played at Grand Haven. Like, why are we playing at Grand Haven again when there's other high schools around here?
Evidently, man, these high schools are not – you got to put in. You know, you got to put in for these sites to hold the districts.
Okay.
And maybe other schools are not
stepping up to the plate.
Stepping up, man.
I know they talk about our parking, so that could be an issue for our conference, for our playoff game. But about Shores? I mean, they right there.
Yeah, we could use Shores, Puffer. Anything better than Grand Haven.
But then a lot of times they be thinking like, our team not that good, so hey, whatever, we can't see our kids.
Right.
That's wrong.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
I didn't say that. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Nope, that's not out of my mouth.
But that's the one and done after this.
Yeah.
After this Friday.
The real deal is what you prepare for all the summer.
Yes.
And use the season as a preparation for this moment. It's the shining moment. One shining moment everybody wants. So let's just see what happens and see if these young ladies can make history.
Oh, I think they can. It's going to be interesting. And it should be a packed house Friday night. I know I'll be in the house.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I'll be there too. That's going to be fun. Our crosstown rivals.
Yeah, which is great. That's good for the community.
Yep, and it's a game of the week. So, hey. Bring your cheering voice.
Bring your dollars and your cheering voice down to the Redmond Potter Gymnasium.
Yep. This will be the day after this when this airs. So let's see what the outcome's going to be.
We'll talk about it on next Thursday when we tape.
Yep. Next one is The Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
We went and seen it. One of the best, man.
Really?
I mean, when I went in to teach my class Sunday to the facility, one of my buddies, he's a Marvel comic head. He was like, Chauncey, I'm telling you right now, that's the best ever Marvel book. That's the best ever Marvel movie that they did for a superhero. I was like, what? This is a white brother.
Okay.
One of my white brothers. He was like, man, I'm telling you. I say, better than Batman?
Oh, yeah.
He said, man, he got Batman beat.
Was it Civil War?
Yeah, I saw Civil War. It's in my bag in my car right now. I saw T'Challa all through the movie. The guy that plays the Black Panther, he all through the Civil War movie.
Right. That's what got his debut.
Yeah, he got his debut. You said it. I watched it. And actually, one of our listeners called me. I was like, Chauncey, what's the name of the movie before I go see the other movie?
Yeah. You have to. If you watch Civil War first, then you'll better understand the Black Panther, how he came into the Marvel mix.
Because I can't spoil it for the audience. I'm not going to spoil it, but. Go watch it, because I'm taking my young brothers next Tuesday. So before I go to practice, I'm going to take them to the 5 o'clock show.
Okay, that's the discount day.
Yeah.
Discount Tuesday.
I got to buy probably like about $15 worth of tickets. But I'm going to see it my second time.
Okay, then. I got to grab
me a t-shirt or something. But I'm telling you, it's definitely going to see how the Wakanda functions. And it's a young brother, 31 years old, that produced this with a great vision.
Yeah.
I know when PA took us to Africa, when they were in the town square in the movie, I was like, I know what that looked like.
Okay.
They really laid it out. And they had one scene where he did a radio interview, the young guy, Kudrali, I think his last name is. And he's from Oakland. And he talked about when he went to Africa, they was feeding him papayas, coconuts, and watermelon. And he looked at the stereotype like, hey, man, in my country, they be making fun of us when we eat watermelon. The lady say, look, you in Africa, it's 98 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Say, you need this.
This hydrates you.
Yeah, you can't drink water. So you can't drink too much water. You'll dehydrate from water. Say, you can't eat a lot of food because you'll get sick.
Okay.
So these are the nutrients in this watermelon.
Right.
Don't let society fool you.
Okay. The papaya.
Yep. Yeah. And the watermelon, he was like, we had so much of that. He said, it was so good and so sweet. And he said, nah, I'm not ashamed.
I know it. Don't be ashamed. That's a stereotype,
yeah,
man.
It's a stereotype. So
you know, and then we got a young man from Muskegon.
That's right.
Juan Torrens. He's coaching him in football.
That's right. He in the movie. And, I saw
that, him. I seen that. Was awesome, man. I was so proud of that young
man. Yeah, man. That's amazing.
I know his mom and dad very well.
He going down in history.
Okay. This is going to be a great start for that young man.
Man.
I think big things are yet to come.
Everybody that's involved with that project is going to be going to another level as an actor.
I think so,
or
man.
Or a producer. Or if you held the lights. I was a light guy.
Yeah. You're going to get a look. Somebody looking for you. Now.
Somebody looking for you.
You was a part of that successful project. We need to take a look at you.
And Muskegon had their name on it. So that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. That's great, man. So, yeah, I'm going. I got to go with my wife. She is the buff.
Okay.
She's the Marvel comic buff in my household. I just kind of, you know, go for the ride, man. Go for the ride. So let's hit a few points on what we talked about last week. About the Trump overhaul.
Oh, the overhaul with the food assistance programs.
Yeah, giant cuts to housing, food stamps, and the health care that's being proposed by this administration.
Man, it's a tough tide.
This report came out of the Washington Post, you know, one of the foremost newspapers of this country. And when they break with some news, guaranteed it's factual. The budget that President Trump proposed Monday takes a hard whack at the poorest Americans, slashing billions of dollars from food stamps, public health insurance, federal housing budgets, vouchers, while trying to tilt the programs in a more conservative direction. The change called on lawmakers to eliminate expansion of Medicare, under the Affordable Care Act, which we commonly refer to Obamacare, but it also transforms the rest of the programs to a system of capped payments to the states.
He's been trying to kill that Obamacare for so long.
Oh, man, he's on his way. Convert food assistance into a hybrid of commodity deliveries and traditional cash benefits, and expand requirements that low-income people work to qualify for federal assistance.
So you're telling me I got to work to be in poverty?
Yes, sir. That's what they're saying. Here's some numbers. The Trump budget proposal would cut the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, commonly known as SNAP.
Yes.
Better known as food stamps, if you will, by $17 billion in 2019.
So where that money going to go, though? Tell me where that money
going to go. Oh, I got that. I got that piece for you, too. A 22% of the total cost of the program. So that's like 25% is going to get cut. And implement a boxed food delivery program, a system that the White House budget director compares to Blue Apron.
So now, basically, now
Blue Apron, you know, I mean, what it is.
Now, ain't that franchise infringement or something? Like, you use another company's name, so that means if you use Blue Apron in that article, that means Blue Apron would step in as big assistance to this program. Because you can't just throw somebody out. Like, that's like me saying, like, I wear these shoes and it's Nike, but it's not Nike.
Right.
So I can't be comparable in corporate America and use a company's name and say Blue Apron.
I think Blue Apron would probably be offended.
Yeah,
so the term that the federal government is using it in reference to.
So it's got to be, somebody about to get a cut of check from Blue Apron then for running this program. I see Blue Apron name being all on it.
Yeah. Okay, the proposal would bring fundamental changes to a program that has lasted for the last 40 years and allow recipients to use SNAP benefits at grocery stores as if they were cash. The average SNAP recipient receives about $125 per month to 42 million Americans. Under the full-scale redesign, the Agriculture Department would use a portion of those benefits to pay and deliver a packaged U.S.-grown commodities, officially dubbed America's Harvest Box, to recipients using the government's buying power to lower the cost. The foods that the deliveries would include is stabled milk, juice, grains, cereals, pasta, peanut butter, beans, canned meat, fruits, and vegetables, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. The department estimates that it could supply these goods at roughly half the cost of retail, slashing the cost of SNAP while feeding the hungry.
Let me share something with you. On our way to Jenison the other day, so I always pay attention to like little areas that don't be developed, right? So we going, like you going to Grand Valley, we took the back way, the Grand Valley Highway, right? So we riding, and I'm just drawing on this, and I know the audience can't see this, but I see greenhouse. Mm-hmm. By these small farmers. These small farmers are prepping to be vendors.
Yes, sir, there you go.
Because I do vendor work for like when I train certain youth, I get, you know, you come in trying to say, come work with this person through our nonprofit. So I can come in as a vendor with certain licenses and work with somebody one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So now if I'm a vendor that got this certain license to grow a certain crop in the state and I'm a state-approved vendor, I supply onions through my greenhouse to the state.
Yes, sir.
To the government, to this region. I supply corn to this region for the services of a governmental program. And when I say contracted services, a lot of times the contracted services don't have to meet the expectation. They use it as a way to drain the system. You said 19 billion, right?
Yes.
Somebody's gonna be a new millionaire on the back of people that are in poverty, and they gonna give them secondhand products. Cause I'm like, hold up, where this greenhouse come from? We ride on the road. I'm like, look, coach, look at this, look at that. But I'm not thinking. So like, I'm thinking like when you read that today, I'm like, that's where it's there. Yeah. That wasn't there before.
Nope. Those are going to be the suppliers.
So they're prepping for that because usually they just have farmland. And they're like, we got to get this crop where it can grow year round. Now, let me get a loan. Can I get a loan, a business loan? Because I'm tied in as a vendor.
Right. Here's my contract. This is what they're going to pay me every month. And you take that to the bank, and the bank says, oh, that's the kind of money you're generating. Oh, sure, we'll give you the loan. So I get a jump start on preparing to be able to meet the demands of this new program.
That's right.
That's how that works. Now, man. The proposal is also likely to enrage food retailers.
Oh, yeah. Now, who are these retailers that we talking about today?
Walmart, Target, and Aldi, which stands to lose billions of dollars if food stamp benefits are cut. On Monday, the Food Marketing Institute said that the Harvest Box proposal is as expensive and inefficient and unlikely to generate any long-term savings. So there's a group out there that's saying that this model that the federal government is getting ready to put in place gonna actually cost us more money.
So basically, we're gonna cut $19 million.
Yep.
But you go out to make some new people rich. Cause yes, farming, sir. So cause this day and age, farming is mechanized, man. If you got the greenhouse, if you got the equipment, you can grow food with no dirt.
With no dirt.
Do you know that?
Oh yeah.
You can get some
hybrid. It's genetic.
Yeah, you can get. You can get
genetic, man.
You can get sprinkler holes, the metal kind, the old school kind that you were doing an old building, an old warehouse with the holes in it, and you can plant greenery. You can plant greens, onions, whatever, in them little parts where the sprinkler come out at, and you can run the pipes. You can run it in a, what's those things that be on those boats when you carrying cargo?
Oh, the cargo containers.
Yes, they got farms like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where they got UV light inside of them, and they got actual pipes growing food with no soil.
No soil. That's what's going to happen, man. These guys, and you know.
Experimental Blue Apron food.
Yeah. That's only a piece of it. The other piece is the housing. Okay?
Okay.
That proposal, they're going to cut $7 billion out of that program. All righty? And this is for the various housing projects around the country. They're going to basically do away with the Section 8 vouchers, which is another billion. And
then, where are people going to live at?
Right now they're saying that, you know, they're way behind because of previous cuts, and they just can't keep up. There's like a $40 billion backlog in capital needs.
Man, that's like
almost, right now.
Right now, that's like, what would you say that's percentage of our city right now? Of our county, Muskegon County. We're not talking about black.
10%.
We're not talking about black or white. We're just talking about our county, period.
Yep.
And it's places like Grand Haven that got it, but they blend them into their community. Like, you'll have a nice house, and then you have another nice house, but somebody will be on Section 8, right next door to them.
Mm-hmm.
They do it all. They do it. They blend their neighborhood with the hood homes and all the other programs. They blend them in neighborhoods together.
Right. That's how they do it.
So they won't be like, oh, you don't look like you're living in poverty. We got you. We taking care of you.
There's only so many, though.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
There's going to be a set number as how many they'd allow. So then you got to, and then you look at the piece with the medical, okay? So you got three components to this program.
You got the food, the housing, now the medical.
And
now
medical.
Now with the Affordable Care Act, you didn't break that piece down. So what's that's going to look like?
Well, actually, they want to take those benefits off the table. A lot of people that would apply for
health insurance, they was making them take a plan.
That basically didn't earn enough to really be able to afford it, then it will allow them to go get on Medicare, okay, or Medicaid. So now they're going to make that criteria tougher.
So then now we're going to be back to what we was before with a large part of people. You making some money, but you don't got no insurance.
Yep. Yeah. And it, you know.
You got no health insurance, but you got some money in your pocket.
You won't have no money because, listen, the Institute is requiring also extends to families receiving housing vouchers, expanding on moves by nearly a dozen states requiring Medicaid and food stamp recipients to work. They're talking about SNAP recipients no longer will be required to work and capping the benefits for large families of six or more. So in other words, if you have six or more in your family, regardless, the cap is there. You won't get any more benefits there. So if it's a family of eight, you get the same benefits as a family of six.
Well, that didn't make you stop having kids.
Okay. So there's a lot of stuff, man, in these budget proposals that's going to affect poor Americans. We applaud the tax changes, but when you really look at it, those changes are going to benefit upper, middle class, and upper class folks in America. Everybody else is not going to see those kinds of benefits. So this is totally a conservative approach to how they're going to manage this budgeting going forward. And this is only the second year of his administration, going into the second year. So if you fit in any of these categories, recipients of any of these programs, take heed, changes are coming. And get ready, because this is only the tip of the iceberg. We've only touched on a few of the components, because it's block grants that are at stake as well. Block grants is used by the city.
That's
to
right.
Help low-income people improve their homes by buying new windows, mo-cap. Siding, roofing.
MoCap is on our community.
Yeah. Yep. All these things kind of help revitalize our neighborhoods to keep people from moving out of the inner city. And that's a part of these budget cuts, too.
Man, this is
block grants.
This is rough. This gonna have, this gonna have, this make the not a city like ours will shrink.
Potentially, it could. It potentially could make that.
Especially a city like Muskegon Heights will shrink and be absorbed by somebody else.
And I guess you know the other side is what happens on the crime side.
That's what, because look, that means that old crime don't disappear. It push into other communities.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't afford to feed your family. People take a drastic look at it, man.
I got this weird idea, all right? I got this weird thing I've just been thinking about. It's like you said, this is 103.7. This is my opinion. It's not, they don't own the opinions of people. Now, we're getting ready, by the old Sappy plant, we're getting ready to build this new division, right? Probably subdivision, central business district, right?
Yep.
So, if a city shrinks and something grows off the water like that,
well, you got to understand that that project, the folks that it's attracting.
Yes.
Okay. The kind of people that can afford to live in the, in that development.
That's $4,000 and up, $400,000 up.
Yeah. For what we're talking about don't even affect those.
No, don't even affect them.
Okay. They applaud this. Okay. They applaud these kinds of changes because they're saying that we you know, the poor in this country are not poor. Okay, when you're talking about what poor is, you go to third world countries and you look at their poor in comparison to our poor. Big difference.
Yes, it is.
Okay, but I still think that our poor is the way they are is because we're the richest nation on earth.
It's a ceiling.
Okay?
It's a
we can provide for the poor in this country.
It always look at it as I got this concept. I call it poverty contention. Like you're at a certain level that you're just making it, and
right.
You're content enough.
And you're content.
And I can hide you in a certain community where you can't really see
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And what like if you can really see your potential, like big cities like Detroit, Chicago, you could be in poverty and be like, man, we downtown. I can live like that. Or that old Michael Jordan in the Lamborghini. That could be me.
Well,
so it's on the flip side of being in big cities and having poverty. And you'd be like, oh, you could be connected to the bigger city because I remember working in Detroit. Kids, we're being in poverty area, but we can go and we take the kids to a beautiful museum, a beautiful hotel, on a trip to the Pistons game. And they'd be like, wow, this is, I ain't know a neighborhood like this.
Oh, no.
Right in the vicinity.
Yeah. Yeah, just take a drive down Jefferson.
Yeah.
All right. I've drove down
change.
Jefferson.
I did that too.
And get into St. Clair Shores.
And Wyandotte, like, all the other places on the other end.
And the scenery changes. Okay. It become $2-3 million homes on the same street that you were just on in the inner city of Detroit.
You're right, sir.
It's the same street, different zip code. Okay.
But, telegraphed like that, too.
Yeah.
Right now, telegraph, you see everything.
And we know that, there's a certain time of day that if we're going to go that
Sherman
route,
look like that's our Sherman
that
Street.
Yeah.
Our Sherman Street like that in our community.
Yeah, Sherman changes.
Peck used to be Peck Sherman used to be like that. That.
Yeah, same
Peck, used to ride downtown Muskegon. You should see the change, but mm-hmm. then it started hitting us all through Peck.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, there's a certain segment of this population in this country that applaud and support these kinds of changes because they feel like we've done too much for the poor, underprivileged in this country. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's how they feel. And regardless to some of how this 45th, how he acts, they look the other way when you bring these kinds of proposals to the table because that's what they're all about is making sure that they keep what they got and not give the poor any more than what they deserve.
Nobody can't get rich like me.
Nope.
That's what it's like.
Yeah. So it is, it's going to be interesting right now, Congress is controlled by the Republican Party, and a lot of these changes are going to go along partisan lines when it comes to voting. And midterm elections, because of what has happened on the Republican side, a lot of Democrats may get elected and swing that pendulum over to the Democratic side. So there's a potential. A lot of these changes may not get enacted in the way that they want. Okay. So that says that if you're a voting age and midterm elections coming up, when we vote for congressmen and senators, those people are going to be key to whether or not these initiatives are placed in law.
Because when midterm election come up, you're right. You got to be able to win the House and the Senate, all that.
Right. Because right now we got a Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican president. And a lot of things, you know, the Democrats have been able to stonewall them. But this, the midterm, the next one is going to be very key.
Yeah. So they getting all their paperwork ready right now with their ideas and concepts.
Yeah, this is a big one right here.
Yep.
Other than the tax overhaul, this is one of the major. And you know, his other thing is he wanted to increase the defense spending. That's where the cuts, when you asked me earlier about where's that money going to go. Well, this money is going to go into the defense.
Oh, yeah, because you want to start a war to get more money.
Well, he want to parade on next President's Day. He want to parade, and they've already said that the parade would cost $30 million in order to put this parade on. And it's like, okay, so where do you have this parade at?
Make great America great again parade.
Okay, he watched old Jung Kim over there in North Korea, how they had their parades. You know,
they're trying to have a propaganda parade.
Yeah, how they put all the artillery on display.
You want to have one of them?
Yeah, that's what he
wants. Man, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
Look, we're going to let's get ready. We're going to finish the show out. I'm gonna give him one of the pointers from Chapter 4, Why Is It Important to Save for the Future? And the scripture is Proverbs 22, verse 6 out of the book, What Do I Do Now? It says, God, trust God with the least. It says, direct your children on the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Many parents want to make all the choices for their child, but this hurts him or her in their long run. When parents teach a child how to make decisions, they don't have to watch every step he or she takes. They know their children will remain on the right path because they have made the choices themselves. Train your children to choose the right way.
Very prophetic. Yep. I like that, man.
In the day and time we in, like you say, Trump throwing this, Trump throwing that, I just look at it like this. I call it grace under pressure. What God's grace say? Did I do everything right? Am I saving due diligently? Am I living my life the right way so that no matter what conditions when this president is in, I'm still going to be, my head going to be above water. Because my cup is running over.
Yes.
You know?
Because I control my destiny because I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. And I'm not subject to all the rules and the regulations that govern how I make my money.
Yep. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit and debt for your planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.